Hello, my spooky friends. This is John, your host of Nightland Frights. And today, I wanted to share some creepy tales about the Ouija board. My first creepy tale involves a personal tale. When I was a manager, I had a young woman approach me one day. She knew I liked the paranormal and was interested in the paranormal. So she wanted to tell me about an issue she was having with a Ouija board. And what she told me is the following. One day, a group of her friends decided to go to a graveyard and bring a Ouija board with them. That, to me, was her first mistake. When her and her friends started with the Ouija board, at first they found nothing out of the ordinary, and then they began to taunt the Ouija board, saying, "I dare you to come out, spirit. I dare the dead to show me themselves." And they began more and more taunting, more and more laughing. I knew that this would be a problem. Then she said, all of a sudden, she felt someone pull her hair. At first, she thought it was one of her friends, and she turned to her friend and said, "Hey, stop it." And her friend looked at her and said, "Stop what? I didn't do anything." Then one of her friends stood up and became very, very sick. And she also began to look like she had seen a ghost. She turned to the others and she said, "Don't you see that little boy?" "What is a little boy doing in a graveyard?" the others asked. She said, "Look." The others looked. They saw nothing. Then one of her girlfriends screamed. When they asked her what was wrong, she said, "I see an older man. He's pointing at me and saying something." Well, right then and there, they had enough. And they ran out of the graveyard, got in their cars, and sped off. Now, the problem is what they forgot to do. And I'll tell you, my spooky friends, please do not play with a Ouija board. It is extremely dangerous. Whether you believe it or not, there has been more harm than good when it comes to a Ouija board. But if you will take the risk of playing with a Ouija board, know this, you must always, and I mean always, put the planchette goodbye. If not, you leave the door or portal open for a evil spirit to walk through, or a ghost to attach itself to you. So she told me she had left the Ouija board there. I told her immediately she needed to go and get the Ouija board and end the session. She then told me she did try to do that. And when she went back with her friends, the Ouija board had been destroyed. It was ripped to shreds and its pieces scattered all over the graveyard. So a week later, her mom comes in. I thought her mom would be angry with me for telling her daughter about the Ouija board and what to do. In fact, her mother was extremely concerned, for they had seen shadows in the house. She told me a story where she had been sleeping, the mother, and woke up to see a shadow person at the foot of her bed. When she woke her husband to show him what she had saw, the shadow was gone. Also, while they're in the house, things were dark, very heavy, and they believed that there was some type of entity in the house, because they would come home from work, from school, and cupboards would be open, drawers would be open, and the mother thought nothing of it at first, thinking the kids, of course, did not do that. So the kids would tell her, especially my young friend, she had nothing to do with it. Then things became worse, her mother said. They became ill. The father one night woke up choking, and he did not know what the problem was. So they rushed him to the emergency room. The doctor looked at him. They could not find anything wrong with him. And when he was at the hospital, he felt better. He felt a presence that on him, which he described later, that was almost sitting on his chest. And it felt very heavy. And it felt like his breath had been sucked up by this entity on his chest. Also, the mother complained about hearing voices all over the house and in the bathroom. When she was taking a shower, she would hear voices and she would say, "Hey, I'm in the shower. Please leave." Well, the voices continued. So eventually she said, "We have to do something. Can you please help me?" I said, "I will do my best." And I reached out to a medium friend of mine who was very generous and came over to my young friend's house as well as the mother's house, the father's house, and looked through everything and immediately felt that there was a presence, an evil presence that had been awakened. And she was very concerned for the family. So again, she told the family that they needed to get a Ouija board, go back to the graveyard, and perform a ceremony with the Ouija board at the graveyard to get rid of the spirit and send the spirit back. So they did, and they went back, performed the ceremony, was saged and blessed, and the darkness and whatever evil presence had disappeared. So this is a warning to all of you out there. If you take that risk, be careful of what happens when you open that Ouija board. So now here are some creepy tales from other people who have went into the darkness and used the Ouija board. Again, here at Nightland Frights, we always say, run, hide, scream, repeat.
The Ouija, also known as a spirit board, talking board, or witch board, is a flat board marked with the letters of the Latin alphabet, the numbers 09, the words yes, no, and occasionally hello and goodbye, along with various symbols and graphics. It uses a planchette, a small heart-shaped piece of wood or plastic, as a movable indicator to spell out messages during a seance. Participants place their fingers on the planchette, and it is moved about the board to spell out words. The name Ouija is a trademark of Hasbro inherited from Parker Brothers, but is often used generically to refer to any talking board. Spiritualists in the United States believe that the dead were able to contact the living and reportedly used a talking board very similar to a modern Ouija board at their camps in the U.S. state of Ohio in 1886 to ostensibly enable faster communication with spirits. Following its commercial patent by businessman Elijah Bond on the 1st of July 1890, the Ouija board was regarded as an innocent parlor game unrelated to the occult, until American spiritualist Pearl Curran popularized its use as a divining tool during World War I. Paranormal and supernatural beliefs associated with Ouija have been criticized by the scientific community and are characterized as pseudoscience. The action of the board can be most easily explained by the unconscious movements of those controlling the pointer, a psychophysiological phenomenon known as the ideomotor effect. Mainstream Christian denominations, including Catholicism, have warned against the use of Ouija boards, considering their use of satanic practice, while other religious groups hold that they can lead to demonic possession. Occultists, on the other hand, are divided on the issue, with some claiming it can be a tool for positive transformation, while others reiterate the warnings of many Christians and caution inexperienced users against it. Strange Ouija tales also made frequent titillating appearances in American newspapers. In 1920, National Wire Services reported that would-be crime solvers were turning to their Ouija boards for clues in the mysterious murder of a New York City gambler, Joseph Burton Elwell, much to the frustration of the police. In 1921, the New York Times reported that a Chicago woman being sent to a psychiatric hospital tried to explain to doctors that she wasn't suffering from mania, but that Ouija spirits had told her to leave her mother's dead body in the living room for 15 days before burying her in the backyard. In 1930, newspaper readers were thrilled to accounts of two women in Buffalo, New York, who'd murdered another woman, supposedly on the encouragement of Ouija board messages. In 1941, a 23-year-old gas station attendant from New Jersey told the New York Times that he joined the army because the Ouija board told him to. In 1958, a Connecticut court decided not to honor the Ouija board will of Mrs. Helen Dow Peck, who left only $1,000 to two former servants and an insane $152,000 to Mr. John Gale Forbes, a lucky but bodiless spirit who'd contacted her via the Ouija board. Here are creepy Ouija board stories.
It all began one night when I was 10. My 17-year-old sister was babysitting me that night. My sister suggested we play a game, but this was no ordinary game. It was an Ouija board. We asked various questions, and afterward I went to bed. I had never played this game before, so I don't even know if my sister played it correctly. As I lay in my bed that night, I started to get sleepy. The light from the living room was lightly showing into my room as my door was open. As I started to close my eyes, I saw this shadow figure standing at the foot of my bed, and it seemed to have a rat's head with red eyes. I jumped out of bed and ran into the living room, and it followed me. I was yelling at my sister, "Don't you see it?" She stated she did not see anything. It disappeared.
For context, we lived in a very haunted house and collected oddities, including many antique Ouija boards. My daughter was having her 9th birthday princess party and wanted to play Ouija. The party was winding down, and my hubby and I were supervising, so I said okay. Starts out normal. Ouija is active and asks if they want to play hide and seek. Well, of course they do. Except the items the board was asking to find were things I did not know were in the house. A black bead at the bottom of a lamp. A doll, whose hat had fallen askew. Also, by the 4th or 5th seek, the planchette was whipping around the board so fast we could barely keep track of the words. So, I told the girls it was probably time to stop. "No, no, we're having fun," they laughed. And then the next words spelled out were, "You stop, you die." So I was full on, "Nope, board goes away." Well, the board just went nuts spelling, "I will hurt you," over and over until I reached over, pulled the planchette off the board, and snapped it closed. We did not play with the Ouija board in that house ever again.
I hope you like those creepy tales about the Ouija board. Now, here are a couple of creepy tales from my guest on the podcast, Dairyland Frights. And we are also on Patreon at Dairyland, Patreon, DairylandFrights.com. Please give, become a Parascani. It really would help me, and I really appreciate making this show better. Also, like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars on all your favorite podcast hosts, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. Again, stay spooky.
Not to the point of feeling nauseous that I needed to take a break. Definitely that I needed to sit down. Arcadia Opera House is like that. It's very draining. When we did the Estes method, which is when you're blindfolded, listening to the spirit box with headphones, so it blocks out all other sensations. Yeah. There was a spirit simultaneously whispering beside my ear, and I could feel them like touching my hair here. And it was very jarring, and my heart started pounding in my chest, which is not a common thing for me during investigations. Right. And it felt so unsettling, especially when in the spirit box, they had said heartbeat. So I had to stop at that point. It made my heart pound so hard that I had to stop. Mm. So that's probably the most unsettling experience I've ever had, is having that feeling.
So the first time I saw a shadow was at the Boyd House about 2 years ago. We were actually getting ready to leave for that night, or we had been there the second night. It was just one of those weird feelings, so we just decided to call it and take the drive home and go from there.
Yeah.
But we left everything on as we were going, and I was down in the basement where it's whatever the reason at the Boyd House in the basement, I don't get along with. There's always something happening. And, you know, I was standing by the edge of the steps down there, and I just saw this black shadow walk. If you, like, count to four, that's the best way I keep saying it. That's how fast it was moving. But it was probably my height. Once I saw that, obviously, I was yelling to Jesse and everyone. Yeah, it was just me and Jesse at that point. So I was yelling at her to come on down, but it had already happened. So, you know, that's a personal experience. I was grabbed at Malvern Manor. I was grabbed kind of in the rib cage area, but I shot out of the chair, which we did capture me jumping out of the chair. Which
kind of comical. That's a good one. I like to see that one.
But and I think that is on our Facebook or Instagram. We tried to post some of that on there as well.
Right.
But that one really messed me up emotionally. I didn't know how to handle it. After it happened, I was, you know, I was angry. I was mad at letting it happen. I was trying to understand it. Mm-hmm. Next day, we went out to lunch, and I broke down in the restaurant. I just couldn't hold it anymore.